Well, I think it shows that there's been really tremendous growth in terms of educational participation in the last several decades, and especially since 2000 in less developed countries. And I think what we see is it's really a narrowing of the gap between boys and girls in participation to schooling, but also in other ways we see interesting patterns. Whereas for a long time, girls were less likely to participate in schooling than boys. Now we see them catching up. And in fact, those girls that do get into school, we actually see them that they're performing in some ways better than boys. And even in terms of sometimes some measures of learning outcomes, girls are doing very strongly as well.
The report, however, says that the right of girls' education continues to be inhibited in many developing countries. Can you tell me why is that and what are these inhibitors?
You know, it's a long-term problem. There's a legacy of exclusion that needs to be addressed in some ways. And it's only very recently where we see, particularly in some regions, East Asia and the Pacific, 70% of out-of-school children were girls just 20 years ago. And now the share is down to 40%. So we've seen kind of big improvements in that way. When we think about inhibitors or some of the barriers for girls to participate in schooling, certainly they come in different contexts. There's the context of the family and parental decisions about how they allocate their children's time. Girls are often involved in many hours of housework, collecting water, collecting fuel, such as wood. Then there's the cost of schooling. Oftentimes, girls are kept back because of the costs of schooling. There's also the context of the school itself. Sometimes schools are not girl-friendly. There might not be, for example, toilets separate for boys and girls, and so on. And then there's just the societal factors, religious, cultural, and so on, which affect girls' choices about continuing school.
Can you tell me which countries are doing better in terms of gender equality? And on the flip side of that, which countries are lagging behind?
Well, I don't know if it's lagging behind, but some of these countries really started at really unequal starting points, and some have made remarkable progress. And for example, in South Asia, I would highlight India and Bangladesh, and certainly emphasize, for example, the policies in Bangladesh around stipends for secondary school for girls, which have really helped to promote girls' participation, not only in primary education, but continuing on to secondary education. So I think in South Asia and East Asia and the Pacific, we've seen, again, enormous improvements in girls' participation. And I think that cuts across many of the countries in the region. But I think China is an example of such a country. But coming back to those countries that are maybe not lagging behind, but still have a challenge ahead, for example, in Yemen, Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, and Niger, we find, again, like 80 girls for every 100 boys enrolled in primary school. When we look at secondary school, we see that countries like, again, in Africa, Togo, Central African Republic, Mali, Niger, that there's about 65 to 70 girls for every 100 boys in secondary education. So mainly it's those countries really that are furthest away from the goal overall. So sub-Saharan Africa, those countries in that region, and South Asia.
2015 is the target for achieving gender equality in education. Is that a realistic target?
I think it's a difficult target to meet, and I think it's also something that's not really an endpoint, but a kind of a balancing act. It's difficult to maintain balance. I think certainly it's important that girls in less developed countries have a better opportunity to access schooling, and not just primary schooling, but secondary and onwards. And that's the challenge, I think, for less developed countries. But the higher income countries and some middle-income countries are also facing the challenge where boys aren't continuing education as much as they should. And we see, for example, an imbalance where girls are more represented in higher education or secondary education. And we see some marginalization, for example, of boys leaving school early to go into the labor market and without sufficient skills to really compete in this 21st century global labor market. So it's a difficult balancing act. I think there's reason to be very positive. I think we've seen massive improvement in including more girls and young women in schooling, but I think there's still a long ways to go. I think it is important to separate the concepts of gender parity and gender equality. And we look a lot in the Atlas at gender parity, kind of a numeric equality between boys and girls. But that's really only a first step. It's also very important to look at the quality of education that they receive and the kind of learning outcomes. If those boys and girls aren't learning good basic numeracy and literacy skills by the end of primary education, then if it's equally divided between boys and girls, it doesn't really matter that much. So we really need to keep quality in mind, and then who gets a quality education?